that kind of thing. Okay. You can start.
My name is Jimmy Travis, and I was born in Jackson, Mississippi in 1942. I attended Holy Ghost High School. I graduated from there. I attended Tougaloo College in 1961, 62, and then 63, 64. I have worked in the civil rights movement. I have worked to try and organize a union at Levi Strauss Company.
Okay, Jim, that's good. You said you went to Holy Ghost High School?
Yes.
And you got out of, you graduated high school what year?
1961.
And what did you do upon graduation from high school?
The Freedom Rads had started in Jackson. And I attended a mass meeting with my parents. And as a result of that, I decided that I wanted to do something to make a change in Mississippi.
Okay. All right. What steps did you take along that line?
Well, I attempted a sit-in at the state office building, the Wolf Hall State Office Building. Mm-hmm. And I was served there. And I was served because the man who ran the concession stand was black. Mm-hmm. So he didn't know that I was black.
Were you by yourself, or were you with others?
There was one other individual, Laverne Brown.
Laverne Brown. When
we were not successful at the state office building, we proceeded to Walgreens Drugstore on Capitol Street. Mm-hmm. And there, we sat in.
Do you remember the date of that?
I believe it was June. I don't know the date, but it was in June 1961.
June 1961. Okay, and describe what happened at Walgreens.
Well, we went in and we purchased a couple of items and proceeded to the lunch counter. And when we got to the lunch counter, we sat down, and the waitress looked at us, but nobody was prepared to serve us. And when the waitress did come over, I said, I'd like to have a slice of apple pie. And she said, we don't serve Negroes. And I said, all I want is a slice of apple pie. Hmm. And a few minutes later, in comes a city police officer who asked us if we knew that we couldn't sit down at that lunch counter. And I said all I wanted was a slice of apple pie. And he said, you all can get up and leave now. If you don't, you'll be arrested. We wanted to be served, so we sat there, and we were arrested.
What happened?
When we were arrested, we were taken to the Jackson City Jail. Where
you went? That was you and
Laverne
Brown.
Yeah. I was 18, and Laverne was 16, and. They proceeded to fingerprint us, took a mug shot, and they started to interview us separately. And after a while, they came back and said, did you know that you're contributing to the delinquency of a minor? Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I didn't know that.
Were you charged with that?
No, I wasn't.
Okay. But were you charged? Were you charged at all?
I never was charged, but I was locked up.
Okay. So you were locked up and not charged. And how did you get out?
We were bonded out about 2 weeks later.
2 weeks? Wow. Mm. How? Who did? Who came and got you?
It was Jack Young and Cossie Hall. Those were the attorneys.
Mm-hmm. Jack Young and Cossie Hall. All right, proceed.
Okay, and when I got out, I met Bob Moses.
How'd you meet Bob Moses?
He was introduced to me at the SNCC office.
Okay, where was that?
That was on Ferry Street.
All right. How'd you find out about the SNCC office?
Well, after I got out of jail, then that was one of the places where I found that other people who had wanted to become a part of the civil rights movement went to the office.
Oh, they did. They show you. Other people showed you where the office was.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So you met Bob Moses at the SNCC office, and what happened then? Now this is 1961.
Yeah.
Okay.
It changed my life when I met Bob, because Bob was seeking volunteers to work on voter registration. And when he explained the importance of voter registration, then I felt that that is what I needed to do. So Bob wanted some people to go down to Macomb, Mississippi to learn how to work on voter registration.
Yeah.
I went to Macomb.
Bob recruited you to go to Macomb?
Yes.
All right. Who'd you go with? By yourself or anybody else?
No, George Lowe.
Okay. George Lowe.
He and I went to Macomb.
Well, who was George? Describe George a little bit. I don't think
George Lowe was a friend of mine. He went to Lanier, and he and I were the same age. And he was also one of the individuals who wanted to make a change. He has passed. He is no longer with us.
Oh. So, you went to Macomb, Mississippi with
right.
George Lowe?
With George Lowe.
How'd you get there?
Bob took a stand.
Oh, Bob did. Mm-hmm. Bob. Okay, and what? Tell us what happened.
Well, I met Hollis Watkins, Curtis Hayes,
okay.
Brenda Travis, and Travis Britt.
Go ahead. Brenda who?
Brenda Travis.
Brenda Travis.
No relationship.
Brenda Travis. And who was the person, Britt?
Travis Britt.
Travis Britt. They were already there in Macomb?
Yes.
Okay. And what were they doing there?
Hollis, Brenda, and Curtis had been recruited, I believe, by Bob. They were students from Berglund High School.
Okay. From Berglund High School. That's in Macomb?
In Macomb. some of the SNCC people that I met. Well, Travis Britt was one of the SNCC people that I met. John Hardy.
Was he a SNCC staff?
Yeah, SNCC staff.
I met John Hardy. John Hardy. And they were there working in Macomb?
Yes.
On voter registration?
Yes.
And you joined, you and Mr. Lowe?
Right.
Joined the group?
Right.
Okay. All right. Continue. What happened? How did you go about the business of registering people to vote in Macomb?
Well, what happened was we learned how to go through the procedure for registration. Mm-hmm. And George Lowe, John Hardy, and I were assigned to Tyler Town City, Walthall County. And that's where we went to get people to register to vote.
Okay, so you all were assigned to Tyler Town.
Right.
And Tyler Town is in Grenat?
Walthall County.
Who was the local contact there?
Mr. Bryant.
Oh, C.C.?
C.C. Bryant.
All right, and what happened?
In order to talk with people in the community about registering to vote, we had to go to the fields where they were.
Oh, okay.
And at that time, I learned to pick cotton for the first time, because that was one of the ways that you could get next to people and talk to them where there wasn't as much fear of outsiders.
Okay. And you were trying to register them to vote, to get them to go register?
Yes.
Okay, did you have much success with that?
We were successful in getting a few, and when I say a few, about six or seven people to actually go down to attempt to register. We were not successful in getting anybody registered, but we were successful in getting them to go down.
And what kind of reception did those people get when they went to the courthouse? And where was the courthouse, in Tyler Town?
In Tyler Town.
Okay.
They received a very harsh reception. They were asked, why are you here? Who is paying you to come down here?
Oh.
You haven't seen a need before now to come down here. Why are you down here?
Why are you down here? Who was that? The circuit clerk talk?
The circuit clerk.
Yeah. Do you remember who that was?
I don't remember his name.
So what happened? He wouldn't...
The circuit clerk asked us to leave, and after a while we did leave. And this happened several times, and on one occasion, John Hardy took a group to the courthouse to get them registered, and the circuit clerk became very, very angry, and he proceeded to strike John in the head with the butt of a pistol.
Now, what was the provocation then? What was John doing?
John had merely asked why people were not permitted to register. Mm-hmm. And the response from the circuit clerk was, none of your business. Mm-hmm. And he asked John to leave. Mm-hmm. And before John could get out, he hit him with a pistol. Mm-hmm.
And, was he badly injured?
Yeah, fractured his skull.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Okay. Y'all took him to the hospital?
He was taken to jail.
To jail?
To jail.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go on. What happened then?
When he got out of jail, then we were able to get medical assistance for him. But in my opinion, that injury is something that he carries with him now.
John Hyde?
Yes.
Incidentally, where is John Hyde?
The last I heard, he was in Baltimore.
He was in Baltimore. Now, John was a native of where? Jim, do you remember?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Not sure.
Okay. So he had suffered a skull fracture?
Yes. Mm.
But he was never hospitalized?
No.
Okay, now what did y'all do about that?
Well, we continued to take people to the courthouse to try and get them registered. And by the time we were able to get people to go back again, it was then time for me to leave to go to school.
Okay. All right. So was this during the summertime
that
you were in
Walthall
County?
Yeah.
Okay. That was the summer of 61?
Summer of 61.
All right. And you stayed right down there, and up until the time you returned to go to school?
Yeah.
1961. You stayed right there in Walthall County?
Right.
What's the name of the town? Tylertown?
Tylertown.
Okay. Tylertown. All right. Okay, now, do you remember? When it was time to go to school, you came back to Jackson?
Came back to Jackson, attended Tougaloo.
Right. Enrolled in Tougaloo?
Right.
Okay, tell us what happened.
Well, I attended Tougaloo for that year. And when school was out, I got back with SNCC, and I went to Vicksburg, Mississippi. Otis Timms.
Right.
And...
Otis?
And...
Is that T-I-M-S? Was he from Vicksburg?
No, he's from Jackson. He went to Tougaloo. And another guy, can't think of his name right now, but the three of us went, Hugh Bale, that was his name, Hugh Bale. The three of us went over to Vicksburg to work on voter registration.
Okay. All right, who was in charge over there? Set up your own project?
The individual that we contacted was a Mr. Houston. I don't recall his first name. But he was with the NAACP. And he was the individual who found lodging for us. We stayed at the Baptist Academy. Mm-hmm. It was a building owned by the Baptist Church.
Okay.
And they allowed us to use as a residence and as an office.
Baptist Academy. Now, this is, when is this now?
This is 62.
62, all right.
Summer of 62.
Summer of 62. All right. You spend the whole summer in of 62?
Right, spend the summer of 62 in Vicksburg.
Okay. You went voter registration?
Voter registration.
So you organized a voter VR project?
Yes.
In Vicksburg, right? Voter registration. Okay. So it was you and Otis? Otis Tim?
Right.
Okay.
And Hugh Bell.
And Hugh Bell. Okay, well, tell me some more. What happened? How'd the summer go?
All right, the summer went, it wasn't very fruitful. We weren't able to get anybody registered.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But we kept taking people down to register.
Mm. So you kept trying?
Kept trying. At the end of the summer, I decided that I was not going to go back to school, that I was going to spend the next year working with SNCC.
Okay. How'd that go?
Ended up going up to Greenwood, Mississippi with Bob Moses and Randolph Blackwell.
Okay, all right. All right, Randy Blackwell.
Randy Blackwell was with the Voter Education Project. And we had gone up to attend a strategy meeting at the SNCC office.
In Greenwood.
In Greenwood. And when we left the meeting, we were headed to Greenville, Mississippi.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Who all went with you to Greenville?
That was Bob and Randy.
Bob and Randy. All right.
And en route to Greenwood, en route to Greenville, I'm sorry. En route to Greenville, there a car pulled up alongside and opened fire with what we later learned was a submachine gun.
Mm. The car had been following you?
Yeah.
Oh.
The car followed us from the time that we
had left Greenville.
SNCC office. I was driving and I pulled into a service station and the car had kept going. So I thought that the car had
gone.
And then later, when I pulled out of the service station, as I was approaching Highway 82, the car was coming off of 82 and it got...
That was right outside Greenwood?
Yeah. The car began to follow us again. And in the past, what had occurred was the Klan would try and run you off the road.
Right.
And I was thinking that this is what they were going to try and do with us.
Right.
But as I said, I found out that that wasn't what their intentions were.
You were the only one hit?
I was the only one hit. There were 13 bullet holes in the body of the car. And all the windows were shot out.
Carry on.
The three of us were seated on the front seat, and I think that that's probably why only one got hit.
So how badly were you injured?
The doctor said that if the bullet had gone in a fraction of an inch further, I would have been killed instantly. Mm. If it had gone in from any other angle, I would have been paralyzed for life.
You were hit in the neck?
Yeah, hit in the back of the neck. Well, actually, behind my left ear. And for about 3 years, I had no hearing or feeling.
Really?
In my left ear.
Mm-hmm.
But it came back.
Where were you taken for treatment, Jim?
First, I was taken to Mississippi Valley State. To their infirmary, because it was the closest place.
Okay.
And upon arriving there, they looked at me and said that I needed to go to the hospital. So I was taken to Greenwood Hospital, where they wanted to perform surgery. And I said no.
You said no, you?
Because I did not think that I would receive the best kid there. And I felt that if I could get back home, I would stand a better chance, because there would be enough publicity generated that they would have to do the best they could.
Okay. So you were taking the jacket?
Yeah. Transferred to Jackson, and that's where the 45 caliber bullet was removed.
All right. You were hospitalized for how long?
Just long enough for them to take the bullet out. I stayed there. One day, and
really?
I was kicked out the next day.
Really? Oh my goodness, hospitalized for only a day?
Only a day.
And they removed the bullet in that day. And then you were discharged.
When I went I was flown to New York to a specialist so that it could be checked out to see how, what kind of shape I was actually in.
Do you remember where you went in New York?
No, I don't.
Who suggested that?
Bob.
And you, did you receive treatment then? For a period of time?
Yeah, well, for a short period of time, until they were sure that I was okay. And that was like 3 or 4 days.
Then you return to Mississippi?
Well, I did some fundraising for SNCC in the New York area.
In the New York area?
And when I did come back to the South, I went to Pine Bluff, Arkansas to work with SNCC. Voter registration. And that was Bill Hansen.
Oh, yeah.
Granger, Ben Greenwich.
Where was Bill Hansen at? What part of Arkansas were you?
We were in Pine Bluff.
Oh, Pine Bluff, yeah.
Ben and Bill headed the voter education, voter registration project in Arkansas.
How long did you stay in Arkansas?
I spent the summer in Arkansas.
Okay. Now, what summer was that? I've lost track.
That was the summer of 63.
Summer of 63.
Okay. Now, I was
63. Did you go to the March of Washington?
No, I didn't.
No? Okay. Did you come home at all that summer? You weren't that far away, really.
Right. I came home a few times during the summer.
During the summer of 63? And Bill Hansen was in charge of that project?
Yes.
Okay, so you stayed the whole summer? Doing voter registration in the Pine Bluff area.
Right.
Okay. All right. What happened at the end of the summer? Where did you go?
At the end of the summer, I decided to go back to school.
Okay.
Went back to Tougaloo. That summer, I participated in the orientation of the summer volunteers.
Okay, now. All right, you went back, let me get this right. You went back to Tougaloo after the summer of 63. So the fall of 63 and the winter of 63, you're back in Jackson and Tougaloo.
Right.
Okay. Were you doing anything, were any political activity while you were at Tougaloo that semester?
No.
No? Just studying?
Yeah.
Okay. So you got back with SNCC in the summer of 64.
Right.
Where'd you go?
Oberlin, Ohio.
You went to Oberlin?
Yeah.
And what happened there?
I was there to assist in the orientation of the summer volunteers.
Okay, summer of 64 went to, that was Oxford.
Right. Oh, okay, Oxford.
Oxford, Ohio.
It was Oberlin College.
Left Tuglu and went to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Who all went with you? Anybody?
Or no,
just went by yourself?
I went by myself.
Went by yourself. Okay. Really? Right. And that orientation lasted?
A
week, 2 weeks?
2 weeks, I believe.
Then you returned?
Well, then I pulled a muscle in my back during the orientation. Ended up, instead of coming south, I went to New York.
Okay.
And I did fundraising for SNCC.
Ready to go. Fundraising
to
New York City?
To the city, and then I went out, Martha's Vineyard.
You went to Martha's Vineyard?
Yeah. Now, is that off the coast of New York?
No, Long Island.
Long Island.
Okay. Still doing fundraising.
Yeah.
Was that coordinated by the New York office of SNCC?
Yeah.
SNCC New York office. Right. Okay. Who was working with you on that?
Contact person was Elizabeth Sullivan.
Elizabeth Sullivan.
Okay.
They found the places for you to go?
Yeah.
Either in New York City, to go to Brooklyn and Queens and those places?
Upstate, Westchester County.
Westchester County?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. And you were speaking and raising money for SNCC?
Yeah.
And did you spend the whole rest of the summer doing that?
No, after my back got okay, I came back home.
Okay. Return. That's Jackson. Did you go back to school?
No.
Okay. You returned to Jackson. After the summer, was the summer over by the time you came back?
The summer was just about over. It was just about over.
Mm-hmm.
was also the end of my participation.
Okay. For a while at least.
Yes.
Okay, so which way did life take you?
Well,
you stayed in Mississippi.
Stayed in Mississippi.
Stayed in Jackson.
Stayed in Jackson.
Went to work.
Went to work.
Okay. All right.
Went to work for Head Start.
Okay, all right. Was that Matt?
Well, I started out originally as a volunteer with CDGM. Mm-hmm. And after that period, I joined Matt.
Okay.
And I worked with Matt for 4 years. During that time, I got married and started raising a family.
Who were you doing it, Matt?
Parent involvement specialist.
Oh, okay.
Community organizer.
You got married during that period?
Yes.
Right. Now, you knew your wife from Tougaloo, right?
I met her.
At Tougaloo?
At Tougaloo.
Okay.
I was not a student at that
time. Oh, you weren't a student at that
time? No, she was a student.
She was a student.
Right.
Now, what year are we at now? 67. Are we in the 70s yet?
We are in 71.
1971? Is that the year you got married?
No, I got married in 67.
Oh, wow. Okay. Married in 67. And you went to work for Head Start in 1971?
No. I went to work for Head Start in 66.
Went to work for Head Start. With CDGM.
Right. As a volunteer, and I went.
And then they moved to MAP.
Right. Yeah. And I believe that was in 67.
Yeah. For 4 years.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so we're at 1971. What else happened? Did I miss anything along the way? Did you, by the way, go to Atlantic City in 64?
Yes.
Oh, you missed that? Okay, right. Let's go back to 1964.
I was a delegate.
Which name?
No, No, I was a delegate with the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party.
Okay.
Yeah, I had been elected.
FDP.
We.
All right, now, what do you want to say about that?
That's when we found that even when you go through all of the formality that's laid out, that it still does not ensure that your voice will be heard.
Right.
And that was a very, very discouraging period in my life. It's hard. And I think that that's one of the reasons that I decided that I would pursue another course of action. I joined the Nation of Islam.
What year was that?
That was 65, 66.
All right. Tell us about your experiences with the Nation.
There was a brother who came through. His name was Brother Robert Hicks. He was the first Muslim that I really sat down and talked with. I had very limited knowledge of the Nation of Islam. But through him, I learned a lot about the Nation of Islam, and I felt that that was the way that I wanted to go. The first masjid or mosque in Jackson was held at my house. I had the opportunity to meet Muhammad Ali here in Jackson. He was brought to Jackson by the mosque in Jackson. I stayed in the Nation of Islam for about 2 years. The only reason that I left the Nation was because I had drank and smoked prior to going into the Nation. And the Nation did not look favorably on drinking and smoking.
Right.
And I decided that I wanted to continue to drink and smoke. And I didn't want to be a hypocrite, nor did I want people to assume that I was in the Nation and I was doing things that the Nation spoke against.
Right.
So I left the Nation. And worked at Head Start again from...
Well, before you go there, did you have problems with the Islamic beliefs and what they stood for and that kind of thing?
No, I didn't.
You did?
I didn't.
Okay, so you, you were a loyal follower as far as the Islamic beliefs that you had embraced.
Yes.
And you left, let's see. What did you just say? You said you left the
nation. I left the nation,
yeah.
Because some of the things that I had been doing prior to joining the nation, I decided that I wanted to go back to doing. To me, that meant that if I did the things that the nation spoke against and allowed people to perceive of me as being a Muslim, then that would be hypocritical, and I didn't want to be a hypocrite.
Who are your influences in joining, in joining the nation? Who influenced you in that direction?
Robert X.
Robert X. Okay. He was the greatest influence? Any of your other friends had joined?
After I left the nation.
No, while you were in?
No, while I was there.
Nobody?
None
of your partners, civil rights?
No.
Okay.
Because I never talked to them about becoming a part of the nation.
Okay.
After I left the nation, then they joined the nation.
That's up. So some of your old comrades went into the nation, right?
Yes.
When you came out. All right. Okay. So you came out. Which direction you went when you came out? When you came out of Islam?
I went back to Christianity.
Went back to Christianity. Back to okay. Were you married then?
Yes.
Okay. Was Dad, your family adopted Islam?
Yes. My wife became a Muslim very soon after I did, and she remained in the nation for about 2 years, I believe.
You stayed in two? You stayed in 2 years?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my. Was Brother Frank a Muslim then?
No.
He was from Green Division. but his family was from there, I guess.
If he was, I did not know, because I was affiliated with the mosque in Jackson, and I would go to like Hattiesburg to sell the papers and stuff, but never went to.
Never went up there?
No. Never went to the Delta.
Okay. All right. Okay, now life takes funny turns. What's going on movement-wise?
Well,
and were you involved in anything during that period?
Not during the period that I was in the Nation of Islam.
Okay.
But when I came out of the Nation of Islam, I went back into community organization in the sense that I did it through Head Start again. This was Humanics Associates, which was the state training facility for Head Start.
Okay. What's the name of that organization?
Humanics.
Okay. So did you do training for Head Start work?
Yes. Well, for parent groups.
Okay.
My specialty was parent involved.
So, you worked for that agency that did the training?
Yes.
Okay. And they trained workers, or they trained parents?
Well, we provided training for all aspects of Head Start.
Oh, okay.
Education, health, social services, parent involvement.
Humanities. They were here in Jackson?
Yes. Well, we had the state of Mississippi.
Okay.
Humanics also had Georgia, Florida, and South Carolina, had contracts with those states. Well, with the Department of Health and Human Services.
Okay. They funded the organization?
Yes.
You stayed with that for what length of time?
7 years.
Huh?
From 75 to 82.
Humanity. Activists were involved with that, or the old Head Start staff people?
No, these were some folk. Well, yeah, Barbara McCoy.
Oh, I remember Barbara. Yeah.
She was the head of the Mississippi office.
She was up in the Delta.
Yeah.
And she was in Greenville.
Greenville, right.
Yep, I knew her quite well.
She was the one who gave me the job.
She was the head of the agency.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm trying to remember which way she went. I think she, I kind of think that she went to work for Uncle Ben when they opened up the Uncle Ben plant in Greenville. And she, you know, their home base was in Texas, if I remember correctly. And she went to Texas and worked for them over there. That's what I remember. Well, but I have remembrance that that's what she did after she quit the Head Start training. Because I remember when she was in the Head Start training. I just didn't remember the name you met. Okay, so you worked there for 7 years. Okay, and you did training?
Right.
For parent groups?
Right.
Anything, any twists and turns life took during that period? Let's see, go back up to 1982. Did you ever get active politically?
No.
Never did?
Never did.
Never did. Never did. That's funny. Okay.
Never saw a need.
Never saw a need.
Right.
75. Okay. 82. And you stayed here in Jackson?
Right. Okay.
And after you left that activity, did that close down, Jim?
Yeah. We,
Humanities closed down?
The contract expired and it was not renewed.
Okay.
So what happened was I started my own consulting firm.
Cool.
Lasted for a little less than a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I did odd jobs until 85. 86. In 86, I went to work for Levi Strauss. I was there from 86 to 2002. One of the things that transpired while I was there was we were able to get a union. There had been an effort before I went there to establish a union, and it had been unsuccessful, but we were able to get one a year and a half after I got there.
Were you active in the union?
Yes, very active. I was.
Were you job steward?
Yeah, I was the assistant chief steward. And I was also a steward in my department. Able to get a lot of benefits and programs started as a result of the union. So the union was really beneficial for the employees. And also during that time, I began to do HIV and AIDS education.
How did that work?
I went to the American Red Cross, and became certified as an HIV and AIDS instructor. Because AIDS had impacted my family. And I felt that it was a cause that needed because people were truly afraid of a virus that we had no knowledge of. And I felt that it was something that people needed to be educated about.
How long you been in that? Are you still in there?
Yeah, I still do HIV and AIDS education whenever the opportunity presents itself.
So that's been, you've been doing that
since 91.
And that's on a voluntary basis?
Yes.
What have I left out? Now, is there any, important observations that you would like to share with us as far as your movement involvement is concerned?
It was the best experience. Thing that could have happened to me and to the people who were involved in the movement. What it did for me was to give me brothers and sisters that have been brothers and sisters for over 40 years. And the same love that existed then exists today.
So these relationships have lasted over 40 years?
Yes.
About the accomplishments, changes that you've witnessed. You want to highlight some of those as being part of life-changing experiences for you and for people in the state of Mississippi, for Black people?
There have been some changes that were not so good
okay.
that I'd like to have.
Go on.
And
help us was up?
They are prior to the Civil Rights Movement. There were a lot of black businesses that are no longer. There were corner stores. There were small restaurants. There were hotels that were owned and operated by black people. And those businesses are no longer.
So that's a negative.
That's a negative. The school system, in my opinion, is worse off now than it was then. Because when I was growing up, the teachers were responsive to the parents. They took what the discipline was, something that teachers were able to help parents with, in that children could be disciplined in the classroom. Now, children can basically do what they want to in the classroom.
Yeah.
And nothing can be done. The community took part in the raising of children. And we don't see that now. When I was coming up, any adult could chastise a child, could say to a child, you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that. And the child would normally stop doing whatever activity that was. And if the person in the community said something to the parent, then the parent dealt with the situation. On the positive side, I see relationships between blacks and whites better than they were 40 years ago. I see opportunities open to blacks that were not open 40 years ago. Education has come to the forefront. The need for education has come to the forefront. The city has grown a whole lot.
Is that a positive?
I would say it's a positive.
Okay.
There are black people sitting in positions of authority that were not in those positions 40 years ago. That, in most instances, is a positive.
Yeah. Anything you want to say about violence, crime, racism, economic improvement, for economic improvement for black people?
Well,
you've addressed the economics a little bit. Anything you want to
racism,
re-emphasize?
Racism is still alive and well. This country, this society, is still of the mentality that they know best for the world.
Okay.
And we impose our will, our customs on every other people, and unless it's the way we see it, then it's wrong. I don't think that we have a right to tell any other group of people, any other society, that democracy is the answer, because we have seen how democracy has been carried out in this country.
So our democracy is good for everybody.
Right. And yet it's not good for the people who live under it. And I've really got a problem with a society, a country, this country, not taking care of its own. And when I say its own, I'm talking about the elderly. I'm talking about the children. We can go and take care of other people in other countries, and yet we're kicking people off of Medicaid in Mississippi, and we're giving billions of dollars to other countries. We're spending astronomical amounts of money on space exploration, and we're not taking care of the earth that we're right here on. You know, so I've got some real feelings about a country that can spend billions of dollars sending a spaceship out into space,
right,
and not take care of poor people right here in this country. Let's look at the election. The election of the president this term and the previous term, when it was not decided by the people. You know, I for one believe that the Electoral College has had its place and is now a time for election by the people, as opposed to someone else determining who is going to be in charge. So, you know, that's something that I think is a part of the new frontier, that we ought to be about the business of change.
City young people?
It's very important to know your history. And the history of the Civil Rights Movement, as it is protected now, is not an accurate picture. The people who were really involved in the Civil Rights Movement should be the people who were writing the books about the Civil Rights Movement. They should be the people that young people can come to, or there should be an oral history like what's being done here now, so that young people can really hear from people who were involved. And there are a lot of people in different communities across this country who were involved in the movement who have received no recognition. And I think that it's our job to make sure that those people are recognized. And young people can be a part of helping to collect that history, because their grandparents and some of their parents were a part.
Truth is important, Jimmy.
Yes.
How do we say that?
Without truth, we have
without truth, have we covered it all? How have we done? Think we've left out any comments? I don't want to leave out anything that you know are important for the telling.
Well, as I said, the one thing that needs to continue is the collection of what actually occurred during the Civil Rights Movement. The people who put their lives and their families' lives on the line, their stories need to be told. And I don't see anybody other than you at this point touching base with people trying to connect the truth.
That needs to happen.
Yes.
More of us need to be involved in that.
Yes.
this organization, does that have a chance to do that, Jim? This organization we're putting together? Would you say?
I believe it does. I believe that it will allow us to come together, to talk, to remember some of the people that have not been remembered.
Yeah.
Because in sitting here today, I thought of one person, Hugh Bale, who was one of the students at Tuvalu who had never participated in anything until the summer of 62, when he went to Vicksburg, Mississippi to work on voter registration.
What was his name?
Hugh Bale.
Hugh Bale, okay. All right. All right. More people like Hugh Bale.
Yeah.
Is he still alive?
To the best of my knowledge, he is, and he's in New Orleans, last I heard.
Okay, Jim, I thank you for taking your time. I know we had a hard time getting hold of you, but nailing you down. But as far as I'm concerned, and I knew it would be worthwhile if we succeeded in getting it. So again, I appreciate your participation. I'm grateful for the time that you take on behalf of the project. I hope that we can make the best of your comments, and I hope that we can succeed in putting together that organization that we know is much needed in the truth-telling business.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
All right.